What does the N-word mean to you? Let's start there. What does it mean to you? And why can't we use it? Why do I feel uncomfortable using it?
I was just thinking you could tell yourself. I know why I don't use it.
This word doesn't bring up any positive vibration and has no positive connotation.
Have you ever thought about the words you use? How they affect you and others?
So it's not necessarily just what you say, it's how you say it.
Hi and welcome. This is the Black Men Reconnect podcast with Tricia Howell, myself, Ash hosting, and Julian Brunois, who's a teacher specializing in coaching in the educational sector. This week, we talk about the power of words. Yes, you have power. Power in your words. Have you ever come away from a friendly conversation feeling offended? Well, maybe you were the victim of a passive-aggressive. Your tone, the context, cultural differences, even history, all affect how your words are interpreted. All right. Hi, guys. We're here. Dr. Tricia from Lightweight Therapeutic Education, who's recently got a thing for men.
Recently. That's why Lightweight started, because men were struggling and there was no one to help them.
Oh my God, you can tell this is going to be a good podcast already. Men, as in the sense, she, not in the way you're thinking, I'm being a bit provocative, in the sense that she cares about men and how they're treated in the society. Yeah. But we'll see, we may touch on that. Also got a regular, Julianne with an E, Julian Brunois. I'm getting my, I said to him before we started, I'm getting my Martinique, small island accent ready. You always sound more smooth than me. So let me just hear, do a quick voice check.
Yes, post-COVID, everything's good. I'm well, thank you. And I'm glad to be back on the podcast today. Hi, Trish.
Hi.
We heard a voice already briefly. You can now talk officially. now you tell her to talk.
You kind of
talk.
Put me on the spot there. I said, hi.
All right. Basically, what prompted this is the power of words. I know in your field, in coaching, and even in your field, Trish, for different reasons, words are very powerful. When I write an email or say something, I'm very conscious of it, but I never used to be, and I never realized why I was getting certain results, certain feedback. And this all triggered by a bit more on a slightly racist thing, but we can touch on that. The N-word was used by Joe Rogan. If you don't know Joe Rogan, he's one of the biggest podcasters in the world. And he's a lot of his podcasts, he's under a lot of pressure for using the N-word. What does the N-word mean to you? Let's start there. What does it mean to you? And why can't we use it? Why do I feel uncomfortable using it?
I was just thinking you could tell yourself. I know why I don't use it. I think differently. It's not a word for me that brings any positivity into any situation. It was a word that was given to the people that was enslaved. And for me, taking back our power is not about taking a word, the same word that was given, and using it the same way. It doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, how come some groups can use it? Here, hip-hop artists and guys by themselves, they will use it. Whereas if you're a white male and you use it, i.e. Joe Rogan, it's seen as racist. I mean, the N-word, I mean, I just Googled it, but it comes from negro, which means black. It's a color, like in Spanish and Portuguese. And somewhere down the line, it's kind of evolved into this. But as you say, it's a different word, and it's got historical connotations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like Tricia said earlier, it's this word doesn't bring up any positive vibration and has no positive connotation. So it was given to people who were enslaved. And this word is, if I should say, dehumanizing.
Trish, you're very much a feeling person. And you said it creates emotions in people.
Well, if you can take a word, so it's not necessarily just what you say, it's how you say it.
Oh, wow.
So you could come into a room and say, hello. You could come into a room and say, hello. Or you could say, hello. So I've said hello in three different ways, and all of them will convey a different story.
Wow, that's getting into some deep territory. So it's not just the words, but how you say it.
It's how you say it. It's your tone of voice. It's what you use it. It's who uses it. Mm. It's when it's used. All of these things play a part.
Julian, when you in coaching, do you practice your tone and how you say things?
It is very important in order to get the coachee to project themselves and get the new perspective. And this is one of the things I say also to teachers. Some teachers, they have difficulties in the classroom to connect with young people or to teach. And the first thing I tell them is your tone, your voice have power. And the way you will, you know, use it will have an emotional reaction. Your voice is your first tool that will help you connect with those young people and that will help you impart this knowledge.
That kind of explains why people with sort of deep voices have more connection, which is weird. You know, on these adverts, they use people with like these deep voices, you notice, and that connects.
Yeah, that makes you want to hear what this person has to say.
Do you think? I can quite challenge that.
Oh,
depends on the audience, because a lot of women don't have deep voices. Babies gravitate towards female voices. Because females are the first nurturer because they feed baby.
Yeah.
Even which gender the message is coming from, the voice or the same words said by male, said by female, can have a different meaning almost.
Yeah.
It can do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've mentioned this term passive. Have you heard this term passive aggressive, you guys?
Yeah.
Have you ever met anyone that's passive aggressive?
I've been in England for the past 12, 13 years, I would say every day, especially in schools. Every day, especially when you're a black person.
Wow.
Every single day.
Can you think of some examples where people said something to you? Well, just to tell us what passive aggressive is first. People listening, they may not have heard it. And then give us an example where it's affected you or someone's tried to.
I'm going to give you I'm going to tell you a story. When I first came here, I was fresh from Martinique. And, you know, there's something back home that we are very proud of is our voice. We want to be heard. So we will most of the time react and, you know, let you know when you do something wrong. So when I first came here, I had that paradigm because I was born with that. I was, you know, raised with that. So I was in a school in Southeast London and there's a senior leader who came to me, approached me, and he tapped me on the shoulder. And he said to me, I was told that you didn't do your job properly. And he tapped me on the shoulder again. He said, next time I'm going to be cross. So don't do it. Okay. Just do it. Okay. All right. See you. I said to him, I don't like the way you spoke to me and especially your choice of words. You're going to be crossed. And I said, listen, I am a professional. I am an adult and I do not want to be spoken to in this way. And he tried to challenge me and he said, well, you know, cross, that doesn't mean, I said, well, cross means crossed. And he said, well, no, it's not the way you understand. No, he said to me, this is a cultural misunderstanding.
That in itself is passive aggressive.
Oh, it is.
Just to use
cultural misunderstanding. And I understood that. And I said, hey, no way. He was really frustrated because I challenged him and I said to him, listen, I understand words and I went to school. I know what I'm talking about and cross means crossed and what you just said is inappropriate. And then he said, all right, sorry, but next time if you don't do your job, we will have a formal meeting. And I said, fair enough. But the person who told you I didn't do my job, I'm going to see them as well. And we're going to have a conversation. And he said to me, no, please don't do that. Don't do that. And I will speak to that person.
So you were being very passive aggressive back then. We'll have a conversation. Very, very good. But the interesting thing is you were conscious of what was the dynamics, what was going on. You didn't react.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, because I know if I react, what will come out of it. So... You know, so I have to use words, I have to use my knowledge, and I have to keep calm as well. So,
yeah. Trish, do you think people are conscious of the words they use?
I do. And I think that we do live in a country where people, I think the majority of people are passive aggressive. I think it's very different to the Caribbean and Africa, and other continents because I'm going to say the stiff upper lip. You know, it's about indirectly saying things and not directly, while other countries don't say things indirectly, say what they feel.
Mm.
This is why we have the issues.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a misunderstanding between cultures.
So I wonder
when people say what they feel, the passive-aggressive culture feel threatened by it because it's not their default. Their default is indirectly say what you think, and then they get the message, and then there's no issues. But our culture says, say what you think, then we understand each other, and there's no issues.
Exactly.
That's a big one. That is it's something we didn't even talk about before we started the podcast. This, the culture, the stiff upper lip, is almost embedded to be passive aggressive and to be indirect. And whereas, say, Julian, when you first came over, so it must have been a shock when you first came over and people, you're just saying it like it is. And people are like, you're having to figure out what they're saying. What do they really mean?
I had to learn about the culture, learn about the paradigm that people have have evolved in. And yeah, I had to understand the psychology behind it. I even bought books. You know, I bought a very good book, which is called, I think, The Art of Eloquence, that helped me understand how English was constructed, the heritage that was given to people in this society as the English language, and how to prevent them from using the language in a very sophisticated way to prevent them to go up the ladder and to trick people's mind. So this type of English, this level of English was only for people at the top of the ladder. And yeah, no, a very fascinating book.
I mean, the power of words, a lot of great leaders Churchill, the sort of big, when we had to fight Germany, Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech, Gandhi, all these leaders use words to motivate people, a nation. I mean, I personally don't mind swearing. It literally doesn't bother me, but I'm now starting this podcast, I'm starting to question it. I don't mind my daughter swearing at all. And I just give her that. I'm a very liberal. I get her to use her own mind. She doesn't swear, I should say. I don't know if that's just luck or good parenting, but I say to her, look, you could swear if you want to get a point across, or if it adds to the message. I know you two have different views on that. And Julian, you've got a young girl as well. She's 7 or 8 now.
Yeah, 7.
Seven now. And your boys, you never taught them to swear, Trish?
No, I never taught them to swear. I think there's so many words that you can express yourself. Why do you need to use words that are negative?
Yeah.
Well, no, be creative in your words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just thinking of what was said earlier about transitioning from one country to another and how having to learn what words mean. So the same words mean different things depending on where you are, and having to relearn it. It's almost like having to relearn another language. So no, I don't agree. Let's give them a language. You know, if they want to swear and they come up with it and they just do that, then that's okay. That's that's what they've chosen to do.
Mm-hmm.
But to then say that I sanction it, I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if my sons chose to swear, then that's what they choose.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say to them, I'm okay with it. And I'm not okay with it because I look at what's behind words.
Yeah.
And so I listen carefully to a lot of things, whether it's music, other people are talking, I look at what's behind the word. You know, some people do swear. You know, I do therapy, so I know that people swear. It doesn't offend me because I understand where they're coming from and I understand what's behind the word. We've got to understand that there's something behind every word that's said and try and kind of tap into what's behind the word.
You know, I do agree with you, Trish. Apologies, carry on.
No, it's fine. I was just going to relate to what you were saying about the passive-aggressive.
All right, yeah.
You know, so the way you responded, you responded to what was behind the word and you did it in the right way. But a lot of our males don't do that. You counteracted what came at you in the right way. You took it like a bomb, exploded inside, but it was diffused because you understood it and then you counteracted it.
That's right. Yeah, we shouldn't let words dictate our reaction.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, and you know, that reminds me of when you spoke about your sons earlier, Trish. My daughter, I love observing her development. And from a young age, I've discovered that, children, that's what they do. They just imitate. They do what adults do because it's part of their wiring. They are wired, you know, to emulate. And we do not swear. So she doesn't swear. And she's 7 years old now. It's the time of development where young people bring swear words in school. And she comes back home and she says to us, "Did you know that this was a swear word?" And we tell her, "Yeah." And she said, "But you never told me." And we said, "Well, because you don't need them." And she's a good reader. She loves reading. She loves books. But she loves being creative. She loves playing with all type of stuff. And this is, again, like you were saying earlier, Trish, we try to stimulate her creativity. We want her to be creative and don't have to use words, because when you look at it, these are just fillers. When she understood that she has a vocabulary, she has a bank of words that will help her, you know, go through situations, they are just taught to us and we think that they belong to us, but it's part of our paradigm, part of our programming, what we saw when we were younger.
Because children will go out and they'll do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But what you embed in them gives them boundaries that helps them to feel safe. You know, the boundaries I gave my children help them to feel safe. But if there's no boundaries, then it makes them wobbly. And that's when they get pulled into the pier. And it might not be when you think it might be, but there's always an area of vulnerability with young people because they're constantly growing. So when they're feeling vulnerable, having a lack of boundaries pulls them into where you wouldn't want them to go.
Yeah. So boundaries with words. I don't have a boundary, but I don't sort of discourage her. Something occurred to me actually as I'm talking, because the words you use creates your imagination as well. Because if you have a wide vocabulary, use other words.
Yes.
It expands your thinking as well. When you think about it, you know, and that you can transfer to somebody else. If you can have a good story, good words, you can transfer that. So you see, you never stop learning. And this is one of the great things, even if nobody ever listens to us talking, rambling on here, I've learned something and I hopefully you too have. Words have historical connotations, they have meanings. But ultimately, I think, do you think they're just vibrations? Trish, tell us more why you mentioned, how would deaf people react to words?
Do they hear? Feeling, and so do we. We have many senses, and when we're thinking about something and trying to work out what's the meaning behind the words, we're using another sense that we can't put our finger on it. And for instance, autistic people very often don't have that sense where they can work out what someone's saying. Everything that they see is literal. So we're always looking at what's behind the word. Our unconscious self is looking at that.
It evokes a feeling, as saying music. You know, what kind of words and music help you relax, Trish? You mentioned dancehall gets you up and going.
I don't actually like dancehall. That's my own personal preference. But I'm just saying, I was talking about fast music, a fast beat. It could be rock, which I don't like either. But that's my personal preference. But there are times and places for these things. The point of the message was is that if you're going to listen to something that gets your heart rate up from you wake up in the morning to go to bed at night, it's going to have an effect. It's going to make your body jittery. It's going to make your mind jittery. It's not going to relax you. So you're going to be agitated. So if anything happens in between your agitation, you're most likely to respond, because you're already in a heightened state of being.
So words, not just words, they are vibrations. They create feelings. Thanks again to our guests. Thanks for listening to the podcast. What are we going to call the podcast, guys? Ash, right. Trish, and Julien. Your brand is Julien Brumois. So we can say the Julien Brumois podcast. That's easy enough.
That's what we call it.
Yeah.
The thing behind words. I don't know.
Yeah.
You might want to say something to do with words. What's behind words? The thing behind words. Do words matter? What are words anyway?
Yeah. Oh, words, sounds, and power.
Right.
Words, sounds, and power. Was that your three words, Julian?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I remember this because I'm into reggae music, and I grew up with Rastafarians uncles, and they instilled in me, you know, this knowledge of, you know, power of words and the sound, and, you know, how the first sound that we human being are accustomed to was the sound of the heartbeat and the power of drumming, imitating the heartbeat has a frequency, and these frequencies have a vibrates and make us feel in a positive way. So it's one of the knowledge that I care a lot about, and I try to stay really close to, you know, and never forget it. The genesis, the origins of words and sounds.
Yeah, Julian, you should have started the podcast with that.
Oh, really?
So that was a powerful statement.
Oh, wow.
What you talked about is music imitating,
mm.
you know, your first experience of life.
Of life, yeah. Oh, wow, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the beginning. Mm-hmm. That should have been the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Do you see
true.
How
oh,
funny
yeah.
things are?
Yeah, exactly.
You go all around to just come back to this powerful thing that we should have possibly started it with,
mm-hmm.
because there's so much exploration that can come out of it.
That's true.
How powerful is that?
Mm.
So if you're going to put profanity and all those things in it, it's so connected to the human experience, the unconscious self, that what you pull out of it, what you get out of it, it can be good, explosive,
mm.
passionate. It could be all of those things.
Even as we're talking, mind's racing. It's almost like words are a mirror of your... Before we could talk, or even if you don't talk, there is communication.
Mm.
You know, if you talk, you're only expressing what's within anyway. No, it's really good. Thanks, guys. I hope I've learned a lot. Just last words, and then we can say goodbye.
Well, thank you for the yeah. invite.
Yeah. No, thanks. Great topic. Thank you, Trish, for attending as well, and for your input, for your insight, for sharing with us these great gems. So, yeah, no. Should
yeah, well, thank
again.
You for asking me. I do talk a lot, so please feel free to say.
We feel to do a lot of editing, do a lot of chopping.
Exactly. No, but that's the whole point of it, is to talk.
So thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks. And we'll catch you next week.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.